Someday soon, my Savior will call out my name.
Welcome to Believing the Bible with Pastor Scott Mitchell of Grace Family Bible Church. Believing the Bible is a program devoted to rightly dividing the word of truth. We hope you will read along in your Bible with Brother Scott, or write down the scripture verses to study later. May you prayerfully and carefully consider the word of God as we study together. And now, here's Brother Scott.
A sweet resurrection of glory when I'm born again.
Thank you once again for listening today. It is a blessing to me that you would tune in, and I pray the word is a blessing to you. Have you ever been told that in order to be saved, you should ask Jesus into your heart? Who knows how many people have a testimony based upon the fact that at some point in their life, they asked Jesus into their heart? My question would be, how do you know he's there? Are you going to say that you feel him there? Then are we not walking by sight and not by faith? What is the evidence of Jesus being in your heart? And how do you know he's even there? Let's look at what the Bible says about the lost heart. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9, we read, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Did you realize that your heart is deceitful above all things if you're lost? Even a saved individual has the same imaginations of his heart. It would be the word of God that restrains a saved person from doing what they would do. The Lord says in verse 10 of the same chapter, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings." I would not want to stand before the Lord and be given from him according to the ways of my heart. I know my heart, and I know what the Bible says about my heart, and there's nothing good about it. This goes all the way back to the beginning. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 says, "And God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and it grieved him at his heart." Two things about the passage. Man has an evil heart, and the imaginations that come from that heart are evil continually. And I don't believe man has changed a bit since that time. That refers to the time before the flood of Noah. The second thing about the passage you'll notice is that God has a heart, and you can be sure that his heart is pure and right and just and holy. Man's heart could never measure up to the heart of God. So why would Jesus Christ want to dwell in a heart like this? Especially in light of the fact that Jesus Christ said this about the human heart. Notice in Matthew 12 and look in verse 34. He says, "O generation of vipers," and by the way, he's talking to the religious leaders of Israel. Think about that. "O generation of vipers, how can ye, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaketh. A good man out of the good treasure of the heart bringeth forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure bringeth forth evil things. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, and by thy words thou shalt be condemned." Jesus Christ knew the hearts of these individuals, and he knew that out of an evil heart proceeded evil thoughts and evil treasure. He said that from a good man he would bring forth good things out of his heart. Well, where is a good man? The only one that is good is God. Jesus Christ said so. The Bible says in Romans 3, there's none good, no, not one. The only good thing that could be said about anybody is that they have Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Notice in Matthew chapter 15, Jesus Christ said in Matthew 15, verse 17, "Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly, and is cast out into the draught? But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Isn't it funny that even today, religious people are concerned about the outward appearance, like the Pharisees who wiped the outside of the cup, but inside it was unclean, like a sepulcher washed on the outside, but inside are dead men's bones. Today, religious individuals are concerned about the outward appearance, that you show forth a good presentation in order to fool the world that you're righteous. But inside are just dead men's bones. Inside is a heart from which proceedeth evil things, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. All in that list come forth from the heart. And yet we tell people, I love you with all my heart. Well, that'd be good if your heart was a pure heart. But we can see that terms associated with a lost heart in a King James Bible are foolish, impenitent, uncircumcised, blind or blindness, evil, deceitful, and hard, as in hard-hearted. I'm always fascinated when I read salvation tracts or little pamphlets about how to be saved, when they suggest that you ask Jesus into this heart or pray this prayer, Jesus, I ask you to come into my heart. As a proof text, they will use this passage in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 verse 20 says, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Every time I read that, I see inserted in parentheses, Behold, I stand at the door of your heart and knock. Jesus Christ is not standing outside the door of your heart knocking to get in. Jesus Christ is seated far above all heavens at the right hand of God, and he's sent a preacher, somebody to witness the gospel of Christ to you, to tell you, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. And if you will trust him as your Lord and Savior, he will save you and seal you with his Spirit. He's not interested in coming to sit in your heart. I've seen the little diagrams of the four steps of salvation or whatever, and they show the chaotic life and everything's out of kilter. And then there's a chair where you're sitting on it. And then when you ask Jesus into your heart, he becomes Lord and he sits on the chair and everything else is in order. Well, that's a great illustration if it were true. But the truth of the matter is, even men that are saved sometimes fail to let Jesus Christ control what they do. He's not sitting on a throne somewhere in your heart. He is seated at the right hand of God. And if we will do what he says according to his word, then God will bless the endeavor. It doesn't mean that there won't be chaotic times just because you've aligned yourself with the truth. If anybody suffered more chaos and persecution than Paul, I'd like to see it. And Paul was certainly a man who put Jesus Christ first in his life and made that the most important thing. But he suffered greatly. He did not prosper. He did not pray a prayer in order that God would bless him. In fact, he even had a thorn in his flesh sent by the Lord, the messenger of Satan, to buffet him, lest he should be exalted above measure. Why should it be any less for us? Sometimes, you know, the Lord's strength is made perfect in weakness. People think that because they're wealthy and healthy and happy, that God is blessing them. How about God blesses his word and the gospel and the work that's being done to promote the gospel of Christ? He's not particularly interested in your wealth. He may place into your hands that which you can be a good steward over. He may also see fit to give you little in order that we depend on him. So asking Jesus into our heart is not what's being demonstrated in Romans chapter 10. Since the word heart is not in the passage in Revelation 3 about Jesus Christ standing at the door and knocking, how is it that our heart is involved? Romans chapter 10 verse 6 says this, But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, Say not in thine heart, Who shall ascend into heaven, that is to bring Christ down from above? Or who shall descend into the deep, that is to bring up Christ again from the dead? But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. What's in the heart there? It's not Jesus Christ. It's the word Paul preached. It's near. That's what the word nigh means. For an individual to be saved, they need to know something, and they need to know that it's near. What is it? Verse 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Then based on this passage, there's something I know about the heart. The heart can speak, as in verse 6, say not in thine heart. And also, the heart can believe, as in verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Saying I ask Jesus into my heart is not the same as believing in the heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And to believe that he's been raised from the dead is to believe that he died for your sins. That's the reason God raised him from the dead, for your justification. As proof that you have been justified, Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Do you believe that? Do you believe all of your sins have been forgiven? If you don't believe that, then how is it that you believe Jesus Christ is in your heart? If you're one of those who believes that Christ is in you because you had these evil desires but now they're gone, you're fooling yourself. You don't get saved and suddenly lose all desire to sin. Else why would Paul write that we are not to submit ourselves unto sin, that we're to reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, and that we're not to serve sin? There's been much confusion over this thought about Christ reigning in your heart. Why don't we let the Word of Christ reign in our heart? The words of Jesus Christ are what we put in our heart, and we don't get them in our heart by asking God to put them there. We get the Word of Christ in our heart by studying the Word of God, rightly divided. You do not have an unction. You do not have an anointing where you got saved and suddenly God touched you and gave you knowledge or wisdom or some other such thing as that. It's so sad for me to think about the people that claim to be saved who walk around believing that they know something because of what they feel instead of submitting themselves to the Word of God. So how is it that we have Christ in our hearts? It's by the Word of God. Notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, Paul writes these words, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world," that's the devil, "the god of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." It's the light of the gospel of Christ that shines through the blindness of the heart. It says here their minds are blinded, but notice verse 5. "For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." What shined in your heart is the gospel of Christ if you believed on Jesus Christ. It opened your mind from the blindness. It gave you light. And what did you see by that light? You saw your need. You didn't say, "Jesus, come into my heart," and suddenly you're a Christian. You realized you are a sinner in need of a Savior, and you called on the Lord Jesus Christ. You believed with your heart that God raised him from the dead, that he died for your sins, and you trusted in him as your Lord and Savior. You called upon the name of the Lord to be saved, and that's how he becomes Lord of your life.
As can be. Sometimes it's hard to find words to express exactly what you mean to me. Drifting in darkness with no place to go, and blinded without any clue. So lost in sin and my heart filled with water.
You are Lord of my life, so precious to me. When I finally saw how you hanged on that tree, the blood flowing down from your side, then I could see you were dying for me. Salvation you did there provide. Now I've a home that's in heaven secure, and someday soon see your face. I long to hold you and thank you myself for dying and taking my place. You are my Savior, you are my friend, you are the Lord of my life. You bore my sins upon Calvary's tree when you laid down your life just for me. You are Lord of my life, and you've made me free. You are Lord of my life, so precious to me.
Yes, Jesus Christ can be the Lord of your life if you will simply trust Him as your Lord and Savior. You don't have the convenience of saying, Jesus, come into my heart, and He's there, without believing the gospel of Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, Paul said. You can't have Him in your heart in the condition you're in as a lost individual. In Ephesians chapter 4, Paul writes in verse 17, "This I say therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk." Now, he's talking to saved individuals there, but he's describing how lost Gentiles walk, and this is you. This is you if you are lost right now. He says, "Walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind." Verse 18, "having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanness with greediness." But you've not so learned Christ. The Gentile heart is blinded. His understanding is darkened. He's alienated himself from the life of God through the ignorance that is in him. And he walks in the vanity of his mind, past feeling, no longer feeling any compassion, any love, any mercy, or any penitence. One way that people do that and get away with it in their minds is they ask Jesus into their heart and convince themselves, well, anything I do must be okay because Jesus is in my heart. I know people like that. I know people who claim salvation through some experience like asking Christ into their heart, and they figure they can't sin anymore because they're a child of God, and so they do anything they want to with impunity. They believe that everything they do is right, that they cannot sin. That's a denial of the truth. If you do not know what the gospel of Christ is, according to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, you're lost. You're lost because you've rejected the gospel to believe on Jesus Christ, and you've in place accepted this idea that Jesus Christ knocked on the door of your heart and you said, come on in, and oh, he must be sitting there now because I just feel like he is, and your feelings can deceive you. The heart is deceitful above all things. Did you ever consider that your heart might just deceive you? The only way Jesus Christ can dwell in your heart is by his Spirit. Galatians chapter 4 says, in verse 4, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son, into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. The term Abba there is a personal term. It's like you would refer to your own father, daddy, or papa. Well, you could only say that if you've been adopted as a child of God. We don't call him Abba Father unless we are his sons. And not until you are sons does God send forth the spirit of a son into your hearts. So to say, Jesus, come into my heart, is not what makes you a son. The spirit of God comes into them that believe. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13 says, in whom you also trusted, talking about trusting in Christ. After that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Well, God didn't send forth the Spirit of His Son to dwell in your hearts or seal you until after you believed. If you prayed and asked Jesus into your heart, did you believe first? Some of you may have asked those very words and indeed got saved because you understood and trusted the gospel of Christ. But you did not receive the Spirit of God until after that you believed the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And there's plenty of people that I've spoken to and asked them, what is the gospel of Christ, who didn't know. Couldn't show me in the scriptures. Could you? If God said to you, turn to the gospel of your salvation, where would you find it in your Bible? Are you going to stand before God in heaven and say, Lord, please let me in? And he's going to say, why should I let you in? Are you going to say, because I asked Jesus into my heart? I can imagine in my mind God saying, that's great, but how are you saved? What if he said, turn to the gospel of your salvation and prove it? Would you know where to go? It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The gospel is that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures and was buried and raised again the third day according to the scriptures. That's what you believe. That's the word of truth that after you believe, you're sealed by the Spirit of God. So how does Christ dwell in our hearts? Notice Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 14, Paul prays, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Christ dwells in our hearts by faith. We by faith believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. We by faith trust that the word of God is true, and we study it and we search it out, rightly dividing the word of truth. Do you comprehend what is the breadth and length and depth and height? Do you even know what he's talking about? If you've been convinced that by asking Jesus into your heart, you're saved, may I suggest that you call on the Lord Jesus Christ and ask God to save you. Don't trust in a feeling that you have. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and then get in the Word of God so you can comprehend with all saints the breadth and length and depth and height, that you may know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, and that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. In doing this, we can achieve what Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3. Verse 14 says, and above all these things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be ye thankful. How do we let the peace of God rule in our hearts? By doing verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. It's the word of Christ that is to dwell in our hearts richly. It is the word of God that he put down in 13 letters by your apostle Paul that we're to study and meditate upon in order that Christ may dwell in our hearts. And then we know he's there by faith, because he's there by his Spirit as we carry out the things that the Word of God tells us to do. As I stated before, the Spirit of God will not lead you to do something contrary to the Word of God. So don't tell people to ask Jesus into their heart. Tell people to believe in their heart that God raised Christ from the dead, to see their need for a Savior. They need to understand their heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. It needs to be saved. The heart can become pure by the Word of God dwelling in us richly. I pray you'll allow that to happen in your life. Thank you for listening.
You've been listening to Believing the Bible. I'm Brother Scott Mitchell with Grace Family Bible Church. I'd love to hear your thoughts about the program, whether you agree or disagree. You can write me at Scott Mitchell, 17 Cherry Hill, Seguin, Texas, 78155. If you would like more information, you can call me at 305-0119. May the Lord Jesus Christ open your eyes, and may the grace of God be with you all.